Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, everyone. My name is Danilo Petrovic.
I'm Ilya Marchenko.
I'm Dennis Kudla.
I'm Evgeny Donskoy.
I'm Henry Laaksonen.
I'm Peter Turepko. And you're listening to the Game to Love podcast.
Novak Djokovic's visa has been revoked by the Australian government and issued with a letter saying he will be deported.
He tested positive on December 16. On the 1st of January, he'd met the requirements for quarantine-free travel. On January 4, Djokovic announced he was travelling to Australia. He was detained in Melbourne when he arrived the next day.
Players, fans and staff at the Australian Open must be fully vaccinated unless there is a genuine reason why an exemption should be granted.
If that evidence is insufficient, then he'll be on the next plane home.
Czech player Renata Voráčová. She arrived last month and played a warm-up tournament before her visa was cancelled.
We are not angry with the people of Australia. We are actually angry with their politicians.
They are keeping him as a prisoner. It's just not fair. It's not human.
People have been upset about the fact that Novak has come in because of his statements over the past couple of years around vaccination.
He knew the conditions since a lot of months ago.
So whether someone wants to get a vaccine or not, that's completely up to them.
Me that wasn't vaccinated, I wouldn't be getting an exemption.
There should be no special rules for Novak Djokovic at all.
Hey, welcome back, tennis fans. Here we are. We're into the fourth set here. It's Djokovic versus Australia. And new news comes out. Djokovic's visa cancelled once more from the immigration minister, Alex Hawke. Big, big news. How are you guys doing today?
Yeah, I feel okay. Just a little bit stressed. We're going again. More Djokovic news. The saga continues. Like you said, we're into a fourth, expecting a fifth. Put it that way. I don't think this one's going to go away anytime soon. Him getting his visa revoked for a second time doesn't necessarily mean he's still being deported. There's still a little bit more wiggle room. We're going to be having more appeals. We're going to have trials, the whole lot on Game to Love as well. So make sure if you haven't already, hit the subscribe button because we're going to be covering it all. But what are you making of it all, John?
Well, the clock is ticking. He's due on Rod Laver Arena on Monday evening local time. So, I mean, that by the way, I even suggested to you today that I wouldn't be surprised if Tennis Australia moved it to Tuesday just to give him another few more hours. But, we've been waiting and waiting and waiting. And we have to wonder, did Australia, the state, did they intentionally sort of take their time thinking that the later they leave this, the less wiggle room, so to speak, that Djokovic will have? Well, I don't know. I was wondering that a couple of days ago, thinking, I wonder if they're going to try and string it. Because, it may get to a point where if he's stuck in that Park Hotel, and we're going to come to that in a minute, when he can't leave, well, and the tournament starts, well, then Djokovic will hand will be forced and he'll just give up the case because he doesn't want to be in Australia for a 2-week holiday. He wants to be in Australia so he can compete for his 10th Australian Open crown.
Yeah, this is just a shambles. The Australian government now is looking messier than ever. Going back to that first court case, I feel like a lot of things wasn't explored properly. The focus was about his treatment when he arrived in Australia, and ultimately it wasn't great. And they didn't have many legs; they didn't have really a leg to stand on, and that's where Djokovic was able to get out of it.
I think that whole thing was just about the treatment at the border, and I think most reasonable people, including Judge Kelly, came to the conclusion that that wasn't fair. And as he said, what more could he have done? So I think we can put that to one side now.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. That's why we need to investigate all of the other bits, like the exemption, the grounds of him getting the exemption. And there's so much more to sort of look into. Hopefully this next hearing, they explore some of them things, because I think that's where we need to find some answers. And ultimately, the decision has been made. We'll bring up the tweet. Karen Sweeney has been following it all, saying Immigration Minister Alex Hawkes cancelled Novak Djokovic's visa on health and good order grounds on the basis that it was in the public interest to do so.
Yeah, I mean, what that means is, so we've got, you mentioned the whole whether he could enter the country with the exemption that he had, etc. And that's still extremely grey. Didn't get mentioned at all on Monday, I think it was, when we had the trial. And it looks like it's not going to be mentioned during this hearing either. And I wonder if the government are intentionally holding some of these things back. And that'll be in their third appeal if it does get to that point. But so basically what this is, and we're going to have a look at the statement in a bit more detail, I believe. Yeah. But basically what this is it's saying we're concerned about the reaction from the public, especially regarding, when I said in a tweet 10 days ago, which, by the way, feels like 10 years ago right now, the minute that Djokovic put out that tweet saying, I'm allowed to take off, I put out a tweet that said two things. One is, how on earth are the Australian public going to receive this, given the strictness of their, you know, their lockdown over the last 18 months, 2 years? And the second thing is, it may well reinvigorate the anti-vax crowd. And we've seen it in tweets, we see it in the chat, we see it in so many, you know, public spheres that actually they are really latching onto this. And I think that's basically what Minister Hawke is concerned about. He's basically reinvoking the cancellation because he's concerned about the reaction of the public and a reinvigoration, as I say, of the anti-vax crowd.
Yeah, he's obviously very much in favour of the science and the fact that getting vaccinated is the way to get out of this mess we find ourselves in with COVID. And having Djokovic in Australia playing an event as an unvaxxed player, one of the very few, I think there's 98% or so of players on tour who are vaccinated currently, is not a good look for the world, for the whole sport. And there's going to be people watching that, looking at sort of the world number one, the favourite to win the Australian Open, as an unvaxxed guy. And it's not in the public's interest. It's just a very bad image for the whole event and Australia.
I was literally just going to take the words out of your mouth there, John. Stefanos Tsitsipas did come out. And isn't it strange that since Tsitsipas came out, now we have sort of a top tennis player. Obviously, Rafael Nadal gave his thoughts on it and was a little bit more, oh, he can do what he wants. Tsitsipas is a bit stronger view, saying he's making us all look like fools.
But you know why, Ben, right?
Why is that, John?
Because he was reluctant to get the vaccine. He wasn't keen. If you remember his statements about September last year. So he got forced into a corner and he's like, okay, I'm not that skeptical. I'm not that, you know, he didn't say he's anti-vaccine. So he's like, okay, reluctantly he got the vaccine. And now he's like, what? You made me get the vaccine, even though I didn't really want to, because I want to get on with my tennis career. And now you're saying there's a back door.
Well, exactly. And that is the one thing that we're seeing here. Tsitsipas, understandably, has come and spoken out about it because he would have probably been in the same boat right now as Novak Djokovic. If he thought he could get into the Australian Open without it, I'm sure he would have just gone down the same pathway. But now he's spoken out. He said, he's like the only player who hasn't been vaccinated, and he's making all the people who have been vaccinated look stupid. That's pretty much what he said in a nutshell. Well, so I think that type of thing, and the more players that have been coming out to speak against this decision to keep him in the tournament, that is what, is, for me, is sort of swaying the decision. because before we didn't have those big names or those big people in the sport saying it, and now they have been saying it. I think that's enough for them to say, I think we're making the right decision there.
Yeah, I think the word Tsitsipas uses, that he's made us feel like fools.
Yes, exactly.
But let's go through the full statement. This is from Alex Hawke, obviously Minister for Immigration of Australia. And he's saying here, today, I exercise my power under Section 133C of the Migration Act to cancel the visa held by Mr. Djokovic on health and good order grounds on the basis that it was in the public interest to do so. Of course, we've already read that. This decision followed orders by the Federal Circuit and Family Court on the 10th of January 22, quashing a prior cancellation decision on procedural fairness grounds.
Yes, and says, in making this decision, I carefully considered information provided to me by the Department of Home Affairs, the Australian Border Force, and Mr. Djokovic. The Morrison government is firmly committed to protecting Australia's borders, particularly in relation to the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yeah.
And then he just goes on to say, I thank the officers of the Department of Home Affairs and Border Force who work every day. So quite a bold statement. Just it doesn't really clarify too much, but at least he put something out.
Well, I think there's some things that are not in there, which you know, we mentioned there's nothing about the exemption. There's nothing about that grey area. There's also no mention of the immigration mistake, at least unless there's something between the lines in there. I don't see. Remember this form that he filled in incorrectly. So that isn't in there either. It's kind of like all about, listen, we want to send an encouraging message to the Australian public. Get vaccinated or you're going to have restrictions on your life. And we don't want to send a message to you guys by letting an unvaxxed person into the country. And finally, good order. I think that's also quite important. So the key line is about, I think, public health and good order. And the good order thing is basically that, you know, they don't want to, like I say, reinvigorate any kind of anti-vax sentiment among a public, in Melbourne at least, where more than 90% of the people are vaccinated.
Right, I'm going to play a bit of devil's advocate here, and I'm going to do some support for Djokovic, because I'm sure there'll be people in the chat wanting me to do this as well. And on that first line, Novak Djokovic, on health grounds, let's be frank, if he's just had COVID, like he claims he has, is he really a health threat to Australia? We've had the CEO of Pfizer come out and said scientifically he wouldn't pose much of a threat to Australia.
Yeah,
we've already got spiraling cases out in Australia. Let me just finish, John.
Okay.
And is he really much of a threat? He's just had the virus, so him going there surely doesn't. It's not going to be the biggest issue in the world. There could be a lot greater ones.
I think there's a couple of things. First of all, the Pfizer CEO did still say that it's better to be vaccinated than just to be recovering.
But you'll have to agree, scientifically, for the next 3 months at least, he would have enough antibodies to protect him scientifically from this virus. And he will be a lot safer than, say, people necessarily who have been double vax who haven't received the booster, because the booster's the actual jab which is protecting you against Omicron.
I do think, though, that at least the minister here is looking at a much bigger picture than whether Djokovic gets COVID or not.
But they've just said their health grounds. So on health grounds, for me, that doesn't make sense.
He's talking about Australia, okay? Yeah, and I think he's talking about the message that this sends by saying, listen, because there's a broader picture here. And I'm not, by the way, I still think there's a lot of grounds for Djokovic to stay and play the Australian Open. I still think the Australian government is a mess. I still think this statement is not clear enough on certain things. But at least on this particular issue here, I think whether Djokovic gets COVID or not is not really what this is about. At least this statement here. It's about the Australian public health. And it's not even, it's almost like, you know, it's like me going on the street and inciting violence, okay, or inciting something, okay? Now, that might be nothing. It's like, well, I'm fine. I'm not doing any harm. And you could also say, yeah, but don't listen to him. Well, but if you're a figure like this, then I think it is about the much bigger picture and the 25 million Australians, many of which are getting vaccinated. And of course, there's a booster program as well that they're trying to introduce. And they're trying to say, listen, get boosted, guys. And then they're saying, well, actually, you know, it's okay.
John, I think that the big thing here, that is the obvious, not elephant in the room, is it's the public. That's it. The Australian public, if he is seen to let him in, it just looks bad upon the Australian government. That's all. Like, if you let him in, it's like your one opinion is more important than the whole country speaking out against him. Like, and that's the whole thing here. You have to make a decision. Who do you want to be angry at you? Novak Djokovic or a whole country that you're going to have to live with? And that's the ultimate decision. I think that's the... trying to save face in front of your own country here, because I think if you don't make the decision, you just look, it's just embarrassing for you. Your whole country can't trust you. Like, literally, you've just gone completely against your whole all your rules that you've set out for the past 2 years, which ultimately it just would lead to no one trusting you. We've got problems in the UK. No one trusts Boris Johnson now. They want him out. So I think this is a similar thing. No trust means people, they won't listen to any other decisions you make after this.
Yeah. It's really hard to conclude on my feelings because I keep chopping and changing. I keep getting presented so much information, and I can see so many different sides of this. I don't have a fixed view. I believe a lot of this, the sort of firm stance they're taking, most likely is because they're in an election year. And they are going to score political points. If it wasn't an election year, would they have to be so tough on Novak Djokovic? Exactly. They let the Czech player in before. They let her in. Yeah. She was playing in Australia. All of a sudden, it come to Novak Djokovic there after his Instagram post. And they used it as a real good political chance to score some extra points. Definitely. I do really stand by that. But Djokovic has not done himself any favours. He's not been transparent for all of this. He's gone out in Serbia before, which visibly doesn't make him look very good. it doesn't make him look like he respects COVID at all. I didn't really get much from his apology.
His behaviour does seem to be relevant to that statement as well. His conduct, both 2 years ago with you know, his anti-vax videos that he was basically, you know, spouting off, and his behaviour post getting infected, does look like there could be some relevance to that. To that statement regarding public health and health order. By the way, this even since we've been on air, the case has been continuing, but it has just 3 minutes ago been adjourned. So there was basically getting all the finer details of what's going to happen in the next 36 to 48 hours in place. And the last I heard, and I think it's still the case, is that tonight Djokovic is a free man. However, from 8 a.m. local time in Melbourne, which will be sometime this evening around Europe and in the UK, he will then have to report to the border force, and he will then be under detention for, I believe, Saturday night as well until Sunday, when hopefully we're going to have the final case and the final decision. But don't bet on it.
Yeah, cheers for the update, John. I just want to say shout out to Zenga Tiger in the chat for the super sticker. I appreciate that. And Wild Fox as well, saying there isn't much of an anti-vax crowd here in Australia. We are 90-95% vaxxed in every state or territory. So that leads to the question at the start that you posed, John. Is he really much of a threat to sort of good order grounds in Australia, considering most people are vaxxed anyway? Are they going to look at Djokovic and... But I can understand what you're going to... I already know what you're going to pose back to me. It's not just about Australia, is it?
Right. By the way, another development. Sorry, I'm just trying to keep up to date. Actually, it now appears as though he hasn't got to stay at the Park Hotel Immigration Centre, and he can actually stay in what's been described as a mutually acceptable place, presumably his rented house. But he won't be able to practice at the Australian Open at Rod Laver. So maybe his rented house has a tennis court, so he could potentially practice there in the next sort of 24, 48 hours. But he doesn't have to, basically the keys now, right now, this. He doesn't have to stay at the Park Hotel Immigration neither tonight nor tomorrow night.
Okay, continuing reading the statement. In making this decision, I carefully considered information provided to me by the Department of Home Affairs, the Australian Border Force and Mr. Djokovic. The Morrison government is firmly committed to protecting Australia's borders, particularly in relation to the COVID-19 pandemic, which they have been very consistent throughout. They have been very strict. We know it's the strictest borders there is right now. And he's saying, I thank the offices, or I can't read
officers.
That. The officers,
I think we went
of, the,
through
of
this.
The Department of Home Affairs and the Australian Border Force, who work every day to serve Australia's interests in increasingly challenging operational environments.
Indeed, yeah. I think we went through that just before when we had that long debate there. I just want to go down to Karen Sweeney's next part of her tweet here, which is just some of the possible outcomes. Yeah. And she's just listing them here. Maybe we go through them one by one. Number one, Djokovic accepts the decision and gets on a plane, giving up his chance of back-to-back Australian Open wins. And we got number two and three. We got he challenges the decision, asking for a judicial review of the minister's decision. Either he's successful and this decision is overturned and he can stay and play, or it's upheld and he's on a plane out of here. So, on top of that,
I don't know if you can add to that, but would he then, if he was to go to court and have a review and it then gets revoked again and he gets sent packing, would not the 3-year ban be enforced as well for the deportation?
Well, I had a look into that one. There were some people tweeting about that and speaking about it, but I think that there are some clauses within that 3-year deportation, like I'm not sure what you call it, ban from. Yeah, so there's like you can allow people in on compassionate grounds and these type of things, apparently. So unsure that, as we all know, with these border things and with all of this travel, John, you've alluded to it, they're written in such a way to allow people flexibility, to allow people in and out. They can pick and choose who they want in and out. So it wouldn't surprise me if it is a 3-year ban, they'll find a way to try and get him back in again next year if the pandemic's calmed down.
I thought it was only sort of on compassionate grounds.
Yeah, compassionate grounds. Yeah,
and you wouldn't think playing a tennis tournament is compassionate grounds, but who knows?
Well, maybe they feel bad for him for doing all this to him this year. That's the compassionate ground. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
For treating him so badly at the border when he first arrived this year.
I think we've got to realise once this is over here and we play the Australian Open, it's only just beginning. There's going to be so many more people talking about this. It's going to be sort of reviews and investigations.
Yep.
There is a fourth option that Karen Sweeney points out, as you can see, just below. She goes, oh, yes, there is a fourth possibility. If you go down on that tweet, you know, that he's successful. So this is why, you know, those first three possibilities, I think, allude to the fact that by Sunday, we will have a decision one way or another. By Sunday, we'll have a decision one way or another. But there's a possibility that the government appeals the decision if it comes out in favour of Djokovic.
Yeah, another super chat coming in from Nicola saying, oh my God, 93% are double vaccinated in Australia. The cases have exploded amongst the vaccinated. How players, many have had COVID that are vaxxed. Majority of Australians are vaxxed because they were forced. Job loss.
Wow, that's pretty crazy. There's a lot of people who are sort of speaking out against that, saying that there's been sort of like an oppression of all the people in Australia. But if that means that they can eventually have freedom, I think that's what they're going for. If they can go around and go into places, a lot of people are saying, I can't even go to McDonald's without being double vaxxed. And Djokovic can come in and play the Australian Open and stuff like that. So it's, I can see the unrest in Australia just from, imagine that's, well, you can use it for any country. Like we're in the similar position in Britain as well. We're probably slightly more relaxed because they're just allowing people to, if you've had all your vaccines, you can go about and do your everyday stuff. It's not like that so much in Australia. It's much stricter. But I think anybody would have these views if they've been locked up. Like everyone's been stuck in their houses for 2 years and not been able to go anywhere, not been able to have fun, not been able to see family, friends, all of that type of stuff. And then if someone can just waltz in and just say, oh, I'm just going to continue with my life, it's all right. Yeah, I don't really care what your life like ramifications it's been for an entire nation. That's what the way they will see it. I'm not saying that that's exactly what everyone's views, but that's what some people are probably thinking.
Listen, it's not fair. It's really not. I don't want to get into all the sort of the lies I believe Djokovic has told throughout this as well, because that's another dynamic. But we've got Jamie Drummer making a good point as well. And I'll tell you who else it's not fair on. The other players in the draw. Because as you're saying, with all of this in or out of the draw, it's a bit unfair on the other players, affecting their prep as they're not sure who's playing. If Djokovic is to pull out, for a start, Kecmanovic is maybe preparing to play against Djokovic. He's probably got his tactics in order to play him. He's going to be getting someone else. You're then going to have a lucky loser who doesn't even know they're going to be in the Australian Open. Obviously, they're going to be on high alert anyway. But it's not giving everyone a fair chance at this Australian Open. And ultimately, that has come from one thing. And that this is the first point. And as much as Ben Rothenberg can be a bit of a divisive person at times, and he's not the most popular, he's being pretty honest when he keeps making these statements all the time. If Djokovic was to just get vaccinated to begin with and have two simple jabs, we wouldn't be in this mess to begin with, and he could have played the Australian Open. He's known that for months. All of the players have known that for months, and that's why 98% of them got jabbed. Doesn't mean 98% of people wanted to get jabbed. I think if you see, there's nobody who really wants to. There probably is a few, but you've got to do it in his best interest to play tennis.
But you realise now, JG, that he can't literally in his, I'm saying he can, but in his own mind now, there is probably no way that he can get vaccinated because he will be in purgatory. He'll be in the middle. He'll have the anti-vax people hating him, like, how dare you turn on us? And then he'll have all the people who were already vaccinated saying, what have you just done? Like, why did you come over and now you've changed your mind? Like, now he's in the middle and he doesn't have anyone. He's not on anyone's side. So he has to stick with his stance because at least he has a big following of people who are on his side at the moment. Whereas if he was to change his mind, I don't think he would have anybody on his side. I mean, he might have a few people from the vaccinated side saying, well done, you made the decision to come over to our side. But I don't know if he's willing to lose and face the backlash of all of the other people who he is sort of a martyr, it seems, at the moment for people who aren't to be vaccinated.
I feel like he's gone too far. He's not going to go back on that now. That's my opinion. We've got Andrew Storm. Cheers for the super chat.
Cheers, Andrew.
From the UK, it seems. Great to have some UK members in. Saying, do we assume that Novak's coaching support team is vaccinated? I have heard that they are vaccinated.
Yeah, I've heard that.
I've not seen an official source, but the general consensus is they all are vaccinated.
And that also explains why Goran Ivanišević could do that photo of them basically waiting while Djokovic was being questioned, because they're not being questioned for any particular reason because they're all vaxxed.
Yeah, we've got 885 Greg here saying, as an Australian, it feels like a large section of the population see a man not in bondage, and instead of thinking, why aren't I free? They think, why isn't he in chains like me? Blame our media. It's another interesting sort of thought process. What do you think, Ben?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, we're sort of echoing the same things that we sort of went through earlier, like the Australian public, and this is the unrest. Like, they're the people who sort of need to be heard, and they are starting to speak out one by one. And I think that's the key here, because everyone was so silent, no one wanted to say anything. It's almost like people are scared, because when you're in this sort of like, it's like a cancel culture like age we're in right now, and we're in an age where people get attacked online and all of this social media. If you speak out once, there's going to be 1,000 people bullying you into like silence again. And I think that's the world we live in now.
Just one thing. I feel like Greg's more talking about the fact that in Australia, the rules are very severe.
Yeah,
and he's sort of saying that they're not necessarily fair. Doesn't mean just because they're unfair rules, doesn't mean everyone should be backing them. I know they're rules and you have to follow them and they're laws. But he's saying, why isn't he in chains like me? In essence, it's too much. It's too strict.
Are too strict. Okay. Yeah. Well,
I don't think you understood it.
No, I think I've taken the wrong end of the stick on that one. But if they're saying it's too strict, then that's just that everybody would need to take a poll in Australia. I mean, is that just one person's view, or is it just the view of like a small minority, or do more people? We would need to see more people.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You'd have to take a broad view. I mean, if the Australian government said, right, we're going to do a vote. We're going to put this out. Everybody, here's your special code. We'll send it to everybody individually. Tell us if you think we're being too strict with the vaccine policy.
I think they are, personally. I think they are being a bit too thing. But then who am I to say that? At the end of the day, they do have a low mortality rate. They're doing it their way. And that is the way they've set it out. They've not all of a sudden got Novak Djokovic there and said, oh, we're going to clamp down the rules massively now. It's always been like that during this whole pandemic. So we can't really blame them. I agree that they have been put in shackles. I agree the rules are a bit too severe, but that's they've always been there. We've got Tanya saying Victorian residents are 90% vax. Novak flies in the face of Melbournians sacrifice. I do feel for Novak, but he's not a victim. He had options.
That's a nice balanced comment there from Tanya.
Yeah, it's definitely. And I like the way flies in the. It's a very a bit of a tongue twister there, wasn't it? So
yeah,
yeah, but very good comment. Keep them coming in. If you want to get your comments read out and want us to see them easier, you can become a GTL member. There's a button underneath this video. It says join. If you hit that, it will give you some special features on our channel. You will get premium Discord access and you get some nice special emojis, and it'll come up in a nice color in the live chat and it will highlight it to us, and we will be able to give you shout outs and read out your comments more often, because there are quite a substantial amount flying in at the moment.
Yeah. Have we read out this fourth bit? I think we have, right?
Yes. Yes, yeah. We have.
So moving right. Down, is there more down here?
I don't think so. I think that's just from a previous one.
She then documented over the previous sort of 3 hours what's been going on today since those papers were issued, if you like, from the ministry. She documented, obviously, there's been a court hearing today, which was basically ironing out the timetable and where Djokovic will be staying over the next sort of 36 hours. And I'm just going to reiterate, the timetable is that he can stay at his rented apartment, we believe, or at least somewhere mutually acceptable, so not the Park Hotel. He could stay there throughout the next sort of 36, 48 hours. And on Sunday, there will be a hearing on Sunday, which will come to a decision pretty quickly, I believe, as well. Like I think I saw within an hour or two that on Sunday it will all be done. So unlike the previous Monday's case, which seemed to last about 6 or 7 hours, including a few technical glitches, there's going to be a decision on Sunday whether whether the visa will be revoked. So the visa cancellation will be overturned once again, or it'll stay in place. If it stays in place, he's on the next plane home. If it's overturned, the government may yet still appeal that decision.
Right. Should we move on to the next tweet? I feel that we're still on the first one. We've got quite a few to get through. This one's a bit more pro Djokovic here, because we have to see it from both angles as well. If Novak posed such a risk to public health, why let him walk around freely and wait so long to cancel his visa? This is clearly dirty politics at play. And I do not disagree with this statement in certain aspects of it, because it is sort of, he has sort of fulfilled what they required. He did sort of pass and get allowed his visa back. And now they've just taken a stance based upon pretty much all of the other things, like the unrest in Australia, the players' unrest. And now they're sort of making a decision almost to sort of save face in front of their own public. That's what it seems.
Yeah, we've got to stay consistent. We went through Novak's statement in fine details yesterday. Yep. It's only fair we went through this one in the same
definitely
details. And looking at it, it doesn't really add up, because he doesn't really pose much of a public health on paper. No, you can also look at it another way altogether. Do we believe the fact that he even had COVID to begin with? Because he applied to go to Australia before he'd received the exemption, before he tested positive for COVID. So there's so much to sort of understand there. That still doesn't add up to me. But let's just move on to the next tweet.
Yeah, let's have a look at this one.
Just before right. We do, shout out to the new member we've had.
Yes.
Great to see that. Merly Mila. Thanks for that. If you want to join, make sure to hit the button and we'll read you out in the live chat. We've got Milan here saying, why following procedure, getting home office approval plus 2 independent medical exemptions? It's not a topic anymore.
Indeed.
I think that may well be the topic that's still on the minds of his defence team on Sunday.
Well, yeah, quite possibly. This one is a statement from PM Scott Morrison on the Djokovic visa decision. Should we go through this one?
It is quite long.
Doesn't seem too bad.
I'll let you read it out, but there was a shorter version of some of the quotes, but maybe just skim through it.
Okay, it says, I note the Minister for Immigration's decision in relation to Mr. Djokovic's visa. I understand that following careful consideration, action has been taken by the Minister to cancel Mr. Djokovic's visa, held on health and good order. It seems the same as like the last statement, I believe. I'm just going to try and skim through it a bit. The pandemic has been difficult for every Australian. We've stuck together and saved lives. Together, we have achieved one of the lowest death rates, strongest economies, and highest vaccination rates in the world. Australians have made many sacrifices during the pandemic. They rightly expect the result of those sacrifices to be protected. This is what the minister is doing in taking the action today. Our strong border protection policies have kept Australians safe prior to COVID and now during the pandemic. Due to the expected ongoing legal proceedings, I will not be providing any further comment.
Bit of a nothing statement, in my opinion. Yeah. I don't know if you both agree. Yeah. Just sort of stating the obvious.
Yep.
Really just acknowledging what's happened and the fact that ultimately the decision is always going to rest with them. It can go to court. The minister, the judge can decide what he wants, but it's going to come back to the Minister of Immigration's decision at the end of the day. And it doesn't matter what they say, because they're going to always override the court, and what they say will be final in the end, I believe.
Yeah, I believe
it looked like he was quite quick to move away from the case and just sort of talk about the Australian situation with the pandemic.
Yeah, on to the next.
On to the next one. There we go. Here we go. Kick Morrison out, not Djokovic. This is probably echoed by quite a lot of people. I would assume there's got to over 2,000 likes on this tweet. I think there's a lot of people who think that this has been so messy and someone has to be accountable for it. Is Mr. Morrison going to be the one who has to sacrifice himself here in trying to kick out Novak Djokovic?
Well, the only way he wins the election is by kicking him out. I don't see him by allowing him to stay with all the mess what's happened prior. I think that's sort of his name on the chopping board. And that's probably why I think he's not going to play the Australian Open. And it does frustrate me a lot, because ultimately I think the final nail in the coffin is going to be a political one. And that is going to be sort of the key motivation behind their decision in the end.
Yeah, I totally, I think you're right. I think this is all a political a play, so to speak. He has to have a hard stance now, and if otherwise, lose his face.
Imagine after all of this, the way they've treated him and all of the errors they've made, for him to then just say, oh, he's allowed to play now.
Well, exactly. This is it. Look, it's too confusing.
Just for the record, that doesn't make it right, what we're saying. It's not right at all. And there's a lot of people I've seen calling for the Australian Open and sort of Craig Tiley, Tennis Australia, to be punished quite severely, and even moving the Australian Open to another country. I've seen it. I've seen all sorts, honestly, online. Yeah. Are you completely opposed to that, John? Because I am.
What's that? Cancelling the Australian Open?
Not just cancelling it, but just there's been people talking about moving it to another country. Australia doesn't deserve to hold a slam.
Yeah, that's nonsense. Yeah.
I've read about that. And then they were saying, oh, I know that they've got a contract until 2039.
Exactly. It's not just nonsense, though, John. There has been a lot of sort of some bigger people talking about it.
Yeah.
They said I just think it's just a non-starter. It's not even a conversation that's worth having, because it's not going to happen. And I don't see why it's the Australian public's fault, really. And we can talk about the government, fine. And
money
we can
talks.
Yeah, right. But they've got the Open, and I think regarding the actual Australian Open itself, it's a successful tournament, and there's no reason why that should move anywhere else. And it won't be moving, as you say, until 2039. I think this is just angry people.
What about take it to Qatar, maybe? Like the World Cup?
You know, if I mean, where do you want to move it to? And I mean, fine, if you want to move it, then no big deal. But I don't really care where it's held, to be honest with you. It's just a tournament.
We've got Wild Fox in from Australia saying, bit of a nothing statement from a bit of a nothing Prime Minister. Welcome to our pain.
I like that. I like that. That's a great comment. Cheers for that, Wild Fox. I think it's going to get more and more like that, these comments coming out against Morrison, unfortunately.
Yeah. Next.
Next one. Right. This one. Oh, sorry. I was missed the first bit. Sorry, we were just looking through it before we came on.
This is more of a legal understanding of what's happening right now. It is a bit complicated, but we'll read some of it. So visa cancellation take two. Of course, we already had take one. Australian Immigration Minister Alex Hawkes decided to cancel Djokovic's visa. Hawkes cancelling the visa under personal powers granted to him under Section 133C three of the Migration Act. You can find his statement here. We're not going to have a look. We've seen the statement. Moving down.
Yeah, we've seen the statement already. Yeah, and then here we go. You can, I'll try and zoom that a little bit for you. There you go.
So basically, that section allows Hawke to cancel a visa if he's satisfied that a ground for cancelling it exists under Section 116 of the Act, and he is also satisfied that cancellation would be in the public interest. So this is just more the legal understanding behind why they're able to do what they do. It's not just, listen, it's way over our heads. We've tried to be in one of the courtrooms the other day and we realized the complexity of it all. It's not like it looks like on the TV. There's certainly more aspects that go to it. But this is just a little bit understanding, because I'm sure there is people listening who do know their legal stuff. So this would make sense to them. So Section 116 is the same ground that the original ABF officer at Tulum Marine Airport drew on to cancel Djokovic's visa. As you may remember, the ABF officer decided to cancel was squashed by Judge Kelly in the Federal Circuit court on Monday.
Yes, that's interesting as well. I like that tweet, because it's interesting. We're going back over the sort of the same thing again. And that was the one that was obviously reversed, and then the judge allowed him into the Australia. So it's going to be interesting if there is an appeal here. I'll just have a quick look down again. So it's not yet clear what Djokovic will ultimately do, but his legal team signaled earlier that he would challenge Hawke's cancellation decision and seek an injunction preventing deportation until the new challenge has been heard.
The thing is with this, we're running out of time. The Australian Open starts Monday. It's a race against the clock more than anything. And is this going to sort of boil over into the start of the Australian Open? So plays commence. Is Djokovic going to play a first match and then possibly be deported after that? I feel like that is still on the cards as well.
Yeah, that could happen. I mean, it depends. Right now, his freedom is quite limited. But after Sunday, it may be quite free. And he may win the case on Sunday. And then, as I say, it still gets cancelled again. There is something that she also developed in the last few minutes, which is that according to Tennis Australia, or according to the Australian Open, the top half of the draw will play on Monday and the bottom half will play on Tuesday, which is pretty much how it is every year. And that being the case, Djokovic is scheduled to play on Monday, presumably Monday evening local time, which will be sometime in the morning in Europe.
The order of play coming down. Just was going to ask. Keep moving down this thing. Sorry, apologies. There you go.
So it's quite likely the new challenge we heard by Judge Kelly again on Monday, when Hawke's first when he first indicated he was considered a re-cancellation. Kelly said that if another challenge occurred, it was unlikely any other judge would have time to get on top of the case in time.
Yeah, I saw somebody criticizing Judge Kelly as well, saying it's unbelievable that he's taking into account a tennis tournament to do this.
I know. Well, that's what I mean. Like, everybody else will probably think, so this fact that the Australian Open is sort of more important than actually all of this, I don't know, political stuff that is going on, which is pretty crazy to think that they're taking the Australian Open itself, a sporting event, into consideration when making political decisions. All right, so I move down again. Excuse me. So we've got this next one. It says, but wait, if the first cancellation was made under Section 116 and Judge Kelly already quashed that, and Hawke is drawing on Section 116 again, doesn't that mean that Kelly is likely to strike this new decision out too?
Not quite.
Keep going. Well, I don't know what means what anymore. This is the thing.
There's too many sections, but this is just maybe just have a quick scroll through, because people can pause the video and have a look who have a little bit more legal background than us three. We're more tennis fans than anything.
Yeah.
So this is just for you guys. Let's move on to the next tweet.
Yeah, indeed.
So the next one, Ben Rothenberg here. Extremely precious. Every minute that we have before the tournament commences on Monday, says Djokovic's lawyer, trying to keep things on as fast as track as possible. Of course, they're going to want to sort of steam through this. You've got Djokovic's lawyers at Woods.
I mean, by the way, just think about the effort he made, Djokovic, to win his 9th title with the rib injury I think he had, and the 5-setter against Taylor Fritz, losing the first set against Zverev. All of that effort he made to win that 9th title, and all the other titles, to be fair. But boy, he's desperate to get a 10th.
Yeah, I think so. I still see, if he gets the option to play, he's obviously going to play. I don't think there's going to be any. He's not going to try and pull out the tournament.
That's another thing. I don't think he's fearful of the reception he's going to receive. Nah. I think he's going to have enough support there from some of the real hardcore fans. It's going to motivate him. And not
knowing
just that,
how strict knowing how strict they are, and they really are quite a strict, tight ship, so to speak, the Australian Open. I mean, in terms of, you know, wearing the wrong advertising and getting your camera out and taking footage, they're quite strict on it compared to other Opens. I also wonder if people might get thrown out if they're certainly too aggressive.
Oh, definitely, problems. Definitely. We're going to see a lot of people banned from the crowd, I'm sure. There's going to be stuff, what's going to happen. I think that's relevant to if Djokovic is there or not. I feel like there will be some protests.
He might get booed and you might get away with booing, but I think anything beyond booing, anything further than booing, you might get ejected from the stadium.
Especially if it goes political. See if there's any political sort of posters or people.
Yeah, if there's signs, they'll be really strict on that. They've already.
There'll be no signs strict and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Let's move on, Ben.
Yeah, indeed. Right. This one, Novak Djokovic's lawyers confirmed that he has not been taken back into detention. So that one's pretty self-explanatory there. I don't think we need to stay on that one for too long.
It is important, though, because he's not... I want to talk about it for the fact that all he's right. Different to last time. He's not being taken into detention.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He's not being taken to detention. So we'll move on to the next one. People's response to Djokovic's visa cancellation. No one is above the law, forgetting already that there is an individual... Who is above the law? The immigration minister, a dictator who's been playing with our lives. A very good.
Listen, it just made me chuckle, this one, because it's so real. The intro, let's just look back to our intro. We've got Morrison saying rules are the rules and no one is above the law. Well, they are above the law because ultimately the law doesn't mean much because they just do whatever they want to do anyway. What was the whole point on that court hearing, really, if they can decide to just revoke it again?
Zero.
And I feel like not just that, they was looking at the wrong... The focus was on the wrong point for me. I understand that Djokovic's lawyers did a great job. Let me just put it that way. I think they did an awesome job navigating that whole trial from my very little expertise. Focusing it on his treatment at the border control was the best thing to do. If they started looking at other things, sort of the exemption and him getting COVID and the grounds on that, I'm trying to prove that, I think it'd have been a little bit more difficult and they wouldn't have, I think they'd have struggled some more.
Yeah, I think you're right there. Maybe they got their case wrong, the government, in trying to fight back, to be honest. I don't know. Obviously, at the time we were looking at what Tran was saying and we didn't really... it didn't seem like he was bolstering much of a case, but apparently he was doing everything right. But shows what we know. We're no lawyers and we just have to believe what the lawyers tell us. So that one's a good tweet, though. Like that tweet. Yeah, right. We got Sasha here saying, if Djokovic lawyers don't challenge Minister Hawke's decision in the court or are unsuccessful doing that, he will be deported from Australia immediately.
I mean, this is a little dated, this tweet, because it's from 7:25 this morning, and we know now that they are challenging it. So
it's a bit that's mad that's so in the past now.
7:25, yeah, I know,
pretty crazy. This one, Paul Sackle saying, Djokovic's lawyers are still considering their legal options. They were served documents at 6:03 p.m. after Hawke's decision. If they appeal, I want a streamlined trial with condensed time from written submissions and verbal evidence.
Which
they definitely will want that.
Yeah, well, for sure.
That's why this is regarding the 6:03 p.m. local time decision from Hawke, which we now has moved on and we know we've got a timeline of about 36 to 48 hours.
I've got I've got a tweet from Jose Morgado. He's just sort of tweeted, I don't think it was just before we came live, which was this one. He says, Djokovic's case has been moved to the federal court. The hearing now on Sunday, Djokovic will stay detained during the weekend. So
yeah, I think that's also changed. He's not going to be detained.
Okay, so all right.
That's 2 hours ago, I think, or 1 or 2 hours ago. So
you've got to remember, this case is always changing as we're talking. It is hard to keep up with everything.
It really is.
Can you just go back to that one? Sorry, Ben.
Sure, sorry.
So just looking at this... what I wanted to make a point of, we know Djokovic's lawyers are going to want a streamlined trial as much as possible. Do you think it's in the best interest of Australia to have a streamlined trial? Are they going to try and elongate it as long as possible?
Well, I think now that timeline has been fixed, that they won't be... But I mean, I think that they would love to have... I mean, they would love to have strung it out even longer.
Yeah.
so this went into Monday or Tuesday, because then Djokovic will just give up the case. They know that time is kind of on their side. But now we do have a timeline for at least this step. We do have a timeline for this step, which will be sometime on Sunday. There will be a decision, which will be to maintain the deportation or to change that decision. If that decision is to maintain the deportation, ciao. If that decision is to overturn it once again, the revoking of the visa, then we're also into extra time once more.
Yeah, I want to clarify one thing as well for people just joining us who missed the start. I know you were talking about at the start, John. The big reason why they have revoked his visa this time is a quote here from that sort of hearing we just had earlier on, saying he will excite anti-vax sentiment. And that is a big worry and concern they have. They do not want him exciting the anti-vax sentiment.
Yeah.
Wow. It's just one of those things. Here we go. We've got Nigel in. Sorry for not reading out your super chat earlier. Just saying hello from Serbia. We support Novak. This is only the second set we need to win.
I feel like we've gone past the second. We're approaching the fourth set, surely.
Surely.
Yeah, I think fourth set was a good analogy. We had that at the beginning. I think it was good.
Yeah, I think with this, like you were saying, if Djokovic wins this fourth set, then there will be a fifth set. That's the thing. I think we're currently two sets to one to the Australian government at the moment.
Pretty good.
The fifth set will be. But then when does it ever end? That's what I want to know is, like, if they just then say again, oh, okay, we'll cancel your visa again. Like that. And he's like, right, I'm appealing again. He's like, oh, we'll cancel it again. He's like, can they do that for two whole weeks until he finishes the Australian Open? Or
I think if the judge was to rule in the favour of the government on Sunday, I think even if just looking at the timeline, there won't be enough time for him to appeal, so to speak. So because if they cancel his visa on Sunday, then I'm sure he would then be asked to remain in detention. I just see that. I think we see, like you said, we're in a fourth set. The government win the fourth set, then we are done. Djokovic wins the fourth set, we might be done in a way. We might go to a super tie break or something, we might well go into a fifth set if the government were to appeal that decision, and they may say, "Look, keep playing the Australian Open while we go through this." Oh, who knows?
Listen, you two have lost me completely.
I think we've lost ourselves.
I'm hoping someone in the live chat understands what's going on. All I know is, all I don't know is I want to find out, is he going to be playing the Australian Open? Is he going to be deported? This is what everyone really ultimately wants to get to. We've got Nigel here just saying, what's Scott Morrison's favourite clothing line? Banana Republic.
I like that. That's a nice one. I wanted to, it's very weird, isn't it, that before all this started and then we had the initial decision. Remember when I was saying to you about that Australian lawyer that came out and spoke to the news, and he said, oh yeah, this won't be just a simple thing that just goes in and then they just, oh, it's all done and dusted. He said, do you ever realize most court cases take months? He said, if this is done even within a day, I'll be super shocked. And obviously it's continuing and becoming longer and longer. Will it continue for even longer still? I don't know. I don't know anything of what the appeal was that can take place after the next part or the other next part. Or it's just, we're learning at the same time, I think, all the time.
I want to talk about the Australian Open now and what part they can play in all of this. Because ultimately they had the choice today to choose whether or not to play the top half of the men's and women's singles draw on Monday or Tuesday. And they elected for it to be done on Monday, which would then mean that they've chosen not to buy number one seed Novak Djokovic any time. They could have easily given him a Tuesday start, but they've not done that.
Yeah, they could have done. I've got a super chat that's come in from Poppy Seeds saying, I'm an immigration lawyer in Australia, admin law. What this is notoriously political as it relates to decisions made by government bodies. Never a dull day. Yeah, thanks for sending that in.
We'll have to get you on, Poppy, I think.
Yeah,
right.
Very interesting. And thanks, Nicola, there for the super chat as well. Appreciate that, buddy.
Next one.
Right, next one. We've got Adam Adicott here saying, Djokovic's lawyer, we intend to file the final submission by midday Saturday. They purpose the government's submit theirs by midnight for a hearing on Sunday.
They propose the government submit theirs by midnight. Let's move on.
I was going to say, yeah, he's stitched me up there. They purpose. Right. Okay. Djokovic's lawyer seems to be arguing that the Aussie legal system should be running on a timetable to fit in with the Australian Open schedule. He's also complaining about today's late government announcement.
Yeah, yes, it doesn't. The longer this goes on, it doesn't look good. And I still hold that same thing I've said the whole time. The longer it goes on, the worse it gets for Djokovic, in my opinion.
Well, this is the part. Everybody, when we had our final decisions on the last podcast, and we've sort of said, do you reckon he's going to play? And then it sort of swayed my mind. They were taking so long bolstering a case. It just felt like curtains a bit for Djokovic. But yeah, on to this next one. This is Sophie Ellsworth. What health threat is Djokovic to the Australian population? Please clarify. Well,
yeah, I've spoke about this to the death. I feel like we could have had this one earlier.
Yeah, we've
got Jasko here. This is a funny one. The longer the match goes, the better Djokovic gets. The statistics prove it. Regarding the force, so obviously we know Djokovic, the best player over five, in my opinion. You've got Nishikori as well up there. He loves a good five setter.
Oh, yeah, true. Nishikori,
Yeah.
But with regards to Djokovic, unfortunately, this is a legal battle in a legal court and not on a hard court. I feel like if it was hard, if it was a hard court, any court, if I'm honest, clay court or grass court, I'd fancy him, but not in a legal one.
Yeah, cheers there for Ryak793 for the super chat. Appreciate that a lot. Well, let's go on to the next bit, because we sort of done that one to the death on the last tweet, which was about the same thing.
Talking of court, by the way, Ben, I do think Djokovic will be in the room with his lawyers on Sunday.
Ooh.
Even more exciting.
That is more exciting. That is
just an announcement as well. While we've got a lot of people here, we will be covering that, of course. We did so well on the last one. Hopefully, we'll have John for it as well. And we'll be taking you through all of the action as it happens. So make sure to subscribe to Jet Game to Love. Like this video as well. And just be ready for when it actually happens. We're going to be there streaming it all.
Cheers, Nicola, there for the super chat as well. Right, this next one from Stuart Fraser. Immediately unclear how Novak Djokovic's legal team will respond to this. In danger now of being banned for 3 years unless his future entry is deemed to meet compelling circumstances that affects the interests of Australia.
I think his legal team are pretty... they're kind of putting the threat of the 3-year ban to the side. I think the government would love the Djokovic team to go, you know what, we're so worried about a 3-year ban that we're gonna say, you know what, we're leaving, or Djokovic is gonna go home. But I think they've already decided that we're gonna keep pressing ahead in the hope that the 3-year ban won't be relevant, or if it is, we're gonna take that risk. Again, this tweet is from 7:16 this morning, so they've already decided we're gonna appeal and we're gonna go for it as much as we possibly can.
Well, this one's an interesting super chat here from Ryak saying Djokovic is playing another Serb in the first round. They might compel him to withdraw to give Novak more time to stay in the tournament. That's a very good one. I really like that. Do you reckon there might be some pressure?
If he withdraws, Djokovic gets till Wednesday.
Wow. I didn't even think of that, but that's a very good point. Well pointed out there, Ryak.
Surely not. It's all speculation for now. Shout out to Jugoslav as well. Talks. Someone who watched a lot of our podcasts. Jugoslav's always there. Big Djokovic fan. Appreciate the super chat off stream.
Oh, cheers for that. Really appreciate it. But that's interesting. Money talks at the after all, John. So who knows? He might earn more than a purse for winning the Australian Open. Kecmanovic, who knows? That's speculation. I'm not actually saying that's going to happen. Right, this one is Andrew Brown saying, timeline of Djokovic visa decision, 5:35 p.m. Djokovic's legal team verbally told of decision, 5:52. Statement from Alex Hawke's office on visa cancellation, 6:03. Legal team given decision in writing.
So. Yeah, and for those in the UK, this translates to 4 a.m. So unfortunately, we was unable to cover it as it happened. But the first thing we did when we woke up was get straight on here, because there was so much to talk about, and hopefully we're doing it a good job so far.
Yeah, I can't ever work out the actual time. I'm not even going to try and guess it. Right, this one is Patrick Marcel saying Judge Anthony Kelly notes that the issue of a valid medical exemption, according to ATAGI, was never dealt with in the Djokovic hearing on Monday. Sorry. That part of the case remains unresolved. So that's quite interesting.
Yeah, really good. I like this tweet. And it's something I've been sort of alluding to throughout this whole podcast. We don't know much about this whole medical exemption. And the more I'm reading into it, the more I'm not sure if we even had COVID to begin with, if I'm honest.
Antibodies. Where's the test?
Well, I said it on the last one as a bit of a joke. I said it in jest. I don't think it's ever going to happen. Djokovic is never going to have an antibody test. But really, I feel like we've got to the stage now. The only way we can know for sure is if he is to get one. It's not going to happen, but it's just wishful thinking. It would be good to sort of solve this whole case.
I don't think it even changes the decision, though. That's the problem. I don't think it. I think that they put their foot down now, and they're not going to backtrack and go, oh, okay, he's got the antibody test. We'll let him in now. They're probably just saying, no, vaccine or not. I think that's the way he's going with it now. Vaccine or not, or we're going to try and kick you out. Right. Anyway, on to the next one. This is...
Done that one.
Yeah, we've done that one. Apologies. This one is from Kieran Pender saying, amused by the fact that over 41,000 people are spending their Friday evening in Australia watching the procedural discussions in a judicial review case in a migration matter, myself included.
Well, we've seen it firsthand. We had 24,000 people watching us during it. People aren't watching it because they love law. Let's put it that way. They want to find out what's going on. This is global news. And right now, in a time when there's a lot of other news happening, everyone seems to be interested. And I'm talking, I've had a lot of friends who aren't tennis fans message me and ask me, what's going on? Is Djokovic going to get deported? It has sort of, I don't know, it's taken the whole sort of, taken world the world by storm. Everyone wants to know the outcome.
They really do.
Because I feel in some way it does relate to everyone. We've all had to suffer during this pandemic. So in a way, everyone can relate to what's happening. Everyone relates to the fact that they've had to be vaccinated. I've seen stories from people in our Discord community. I'm not going to say any names. But they've had to be vaccinated in order to work. So their job, they'd have lost their job. They'd have been fired if they wasn't vaccinated. So there's so many different ways people can relate to this story. And I think that's why what makes it so popular and why everyone wants to know what the outcome's going to be.
Well, the loss of earnings as well. Imagine that. Like, a lot of people haven't been able to work as well. So that's another angle you can always look at this. People have had their businesses closed down for 2 years. People have gone bankrupt. People they've lost their homes, things like that. And because they couldn't work, and you're going to allow somebody to just go in there. Do their job as normal without being vaccinated. And that's why those are disgruntled people. And you can see why they would be angry.
Yeah, definitely.
Right.
Do you want to say anything about this, John?
Nope.
Staying out of that one. Right. Ben Rothenberg is back again. And he says, if Novak Djokovic does not compete in the Australian Open, there would be no champions from the previous 12 editions of the tournament in the men's draw. Rafael Nadal in 2009 would be the lone past winner.
Ramos! He's going to do it. He's doing it. It's confirmed. Rafa's winning it.
Oh, my God. Well, it's a fair few years ago, that one. Let's see if he's still at the same level. I think Medvedev would be a hot favourite, considering his draw as well. And I don't think the draw gets affected on Medvedev's side if Djokovic doesn't play either. I think.
Are we sure that the other people will move around? So, like,
yeah, it's like the third seed. All the odd seeds move, not the even ones. So
that still affects you as an even seed.
Hmm?
That still affects you as an even seed, because if you're scheduled to play Zverev in the quarterfinal, for example, as number six seed, for example, I don't know who number six seed might be. And of course, number three moves to number one, and then suddenly you're not going to meet him until the semifinal.
Well, yeah, exactly.
It will affect everyone, in essence.
It will do, but I think Medvedev looks pretty good down on his side. He's going to be rubbing his hands together, I think. This one's just a little comedy tweet here from John Sobel. So who's having the worst week? A, Boris Johnson. B, His Royal Highness Prince Andrew. Or C, Novak Djokovic. Well, I think I don't even want to get into these other ones. I touched on Boris Johnson earlier. God, the less said about him, the better for my liking. Prince Andrew as well. It's absolutely terrible. Absolutely terrible. Djokovic, obviously, this is the one we're covering. So,
listen, who's having the worst week? You could make a case for all of them. Let's be honest. I'd probably say out of the list there, I'd have to go B. I think Prince Andrew's having the worst. But
agreed. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I'll move on to the next.
I think your mic keeps muting, mate.
Sorry. Apologies for that.
No.
I will.
It's all right.
That's all right. No worries. This one, quite an interesting one you sent over. Just somebody just giving an opinion as a Djokovic fan saying, I shouldn't have to say this, but being a Djokovic fan doesn't entail agreeing with him on everything, nor doing as he does. I know what he thinks about drinking alcohol and coffee. I have no intention of giving them up. Thank you very much. I like that. It's at least it's like somebody who's a Djokovic fan. Sort of bring a bit of lightheartedness to it, because there is a lot of people outraged at this whole decision, and they're sort of seeing it from another perspective. So.
I think it's getting at the point that you can be a Djokovic fan and still get vaccinated.
Yeah, well, exactly. I think, yeah, it's sort of looking at it through a different lens, so to speak, isn't it? Yeah.
I think it's important to do that, though, throughout this whole thing. You can't just be too fixed on your opinion on things. You need to just be presented with new information as it comes. This case is changing day on day. So you've got to look at it each day with a fresh sort of fresh view and a fresh stance. Otherwise, it's just not good, I don't think. And you're being a bit of a hypocrite. We've got Dusan here asking us, does anybody have a take on what Djokovic's chances are at federal court?
Ooh.
What would you say? Let's give a percentage. I think that's the best way of looking at this. Would you say, so John's going 50-50. He sees nothing in it. What about you, Ben?
I'm not going 50-50. I think I'm more with the stance now that they're going to try and force him out. I'm going to go 75-25 in favour of the government now.
Read my mind. That was mine as well. 75-25. I think it is looking more likely Djokovic will not be playing the Australian Open. I think the chances of him getting deported are high.
I don't know. Is that boring, Ben? I don't even know how boring Ben fits this narrative.
I can't say it because it'll be boring JG as well, because I've gone for the same. But
I know. I think it's a fair... Because I still think Djokovic has a chance because his legal team are very good as well. Yeah. So you've got to remember that. And he is...
It's scary, that Wood guy, his main lawyer. I find him quite intimidating.
Yeah, definitely do. And plus, he can talk the hind legs off a donkey. So I don't think he... stopped talking and took breath for about 30 minutes in that first trial, did he? And he was confusing the hell out of me, but maybe he has an ability to get into the mind of a judge to convince them, and that's very key for being a lawyer.
Can you imagine going out with that lawyer for a drink, by the way? You go, whose round is it? And he goes, well, if you remember, on the 13th of September, when we last reconvened, I bought the last round, so I think you'll find that it's up to you to buy the next round. So,
yes, looking at section 16 point 3 of the drinks code, I think that right. So we've got Marco in. Thanks for the super chat as well, saying something that everybody's echoing. What is the point of having a federal court if the government can just overturn the decision? Proves the system in Australia is a joke.
Hopefully, they can do that, because there seems to be a lack of communication in Australia. It seems like everyone's sort of not interconnected. They're all in their own entity, and there's nobody sort of putting together with one set of rules. I don't think they know what the rules are themselves at times. So how are they expecting other people to follow them? I'm unsure. Hopefully after this, they can have a really good look into it and change some of their policies and some of the way their stance on the border control, because it is a mess and it's been embarrassing for Australia. It doesn't take it away from the fact that Djokovic has behaved in an embarrassing nature at times throughout this.
Right. I've just had to receive this one from our Discord, and they're saying it's really quite unbelievable. The court is sitting at 11 p.m. to effectively determine the participation of a player in a tennis tournament. The only judge I've ever listened to before this time on a Friday night is Judge Jules, which is obviously a radio DJ in the UK. Yeah. So that's quite a good one. Like that.
Yeah. Merley, one of our new members as well, saying, imagine thinking yourself a righteous person and comparing a man whose foundation supports underprivileged kids in Serbia to a man currently on trial for sexual assault. That's not right. And yeah, I agree with you. That's why Djokovic for me, would always be third in that on that whole list.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I mean, he is the one. All he's doing is just trying to get into country to do his job and play a tennis tournament. The
you
other
can say
one,
he's being a bit arrogant. You can say he's being a bit selfish, but he's nowhere near the same level as some of the others.
Nowhere near. If anything, yeah, he's just trying to do his best to play this tournament, and that's all you can really say. And it's just the Australian government who have bungled this whole thing and made it what it is. If we go back to the beginning, ultimately, Djokovic, for me, I still stand by it. He would not have travelled to Australia if he knew he couldn't get in past the border control. And that's my personal opinion. I still don't think he would have travelled. If they set their stall from the start and they didn't try and find all these loopholes to get him in, he would have just said, no, he wouldn't have tried. But they tried to find a way for him. And now he finds himself in this situation. So it's not, if there's people trying to blame Novak Djokovic like 100% for this, there's no way it's all his fault. It's Australia's fault and probably Tennis Australia has a lot to answer for here as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm out of tweets now, mate.
No, that's all good. Yeah, I've got nothing more to add. I don't know if you've got anything to add, John.
No, other than, you know, as I say, fourth set tiebreak on Sunday. They'll be submitting documents tomorrow, so I don't think we might have enough material for a pod once those documents emerge, so we can sort of weigh up that situation. But in terms of actual major developments, there won't be anything major until Sunday.
Yeah, unless this is still another situation, or scenario, should I say, Djokovic could say, you know what? I respect my fellow players. I respect the Australian people enough. And I respect the rules. I'm going to just go on my own accord and I'm leaving Australia.
I think that's unlikely now, but yeah, it could happen.
It's come too far, I feel.
I mean, he wouldn't have appealed this evening, if you like. I say this evening because it's evening in Australia right now, or it's about midnight. I think that he would come to that conclusion a few hours ago, but I think he's going to keep going.
Okay, well, let's wrap this one up. Big shout out to everyone who joined us for this one. If you haven't already, please hit the like button on the video. Subscribe if you're new as well. We appreciate all the new members we've had. And of course, enter our giveaway. I'll let Ben tell you more about it.
Yes, we are giving away two tickets to Roland Garros. They are over 4 days, these tickets, on Philippe Chatrier. We've got, just two tickets, a promo that's going to be coming just shortly. I'm going to play it for you now. This time we're bringing you a giveaway, Roland Garros 2022. We have two grand public tickets going on offer and you can be part of it.
Make sure you are subscribed to Game to Love. And secondly, follow the link to find out all of the ways you can enter. They include following us on Spotify, following on Twitter, joining the Patreon. That's another one where you get a few entries.
4 days at Roland Garros. That could be the final, the semi-final, the quarter-final.
To clarify, that is two tickets for 4 days at Roland Garros, seeing the very best tennis talent.
Yeah, so make sure that you get your entries in by the 31st of January 2022.
And good luck. May the best man or woman win. And hopefully we get to see you out in Paris very soon.
Exciting. Do not miss out on that opportunity for those tickets. It's free to enter. All you got to do is hit the link in the live chat or in the description below.
Yeah.
JG.
Yeah, up. Another thing, if you want to support us further, make sure join the membership for as little as $1.99 a month. It helps us to continue doing these podcasts. Of course, we've got a day job as well, and it just means we can dedicate a little bit more time to it. And of course, see you in the live chat. You appear in a different color. You get emojis you can use. You can press the John Silk emoji whenever you fancy. And you get great badges next to your name as well. So even more reason to do it.
Definitely. Yeah. All right.
We'll wrap that one up there. If you haven't already, like and subscribe and see you very shortly, I'm sure, for more Djokovic updates.
Yeah, we'll do.
See you guys.
Novak Djokovic's visa has been revoked by the Australian government and issued with a letter saying he will be deported.
He tested positive on December 16. On the 1st of January, he'd met the requirements for quarantine-free travel. On January 4, Djokovic announced he was travelling to Australia. He was detained in Melbourne when he arrived the next day.
Players, fans and staff at the Australian Open must be fully vaccinated unless there is a genuine reason why an exemption should be granted.
If that evidence is insufficient, and he'll be on the next plane home.
Czech player Renata Voráčová. She arrived last month and played a warm-up tournament before her visa was cancelled.
We are not angry with the people of Australia. We are actually angry with their politicians.
They are keeping him as a prisoner. It's just not fair. It's not human.
He'll be upset about the fact that Novak has come in because of his statements over the past couple of years around vaccination.
He knew the conditions since a lot of months ago.
So whether someone wants to get a vaccine or not, that's completely up to them.
Me that wasn't vaccinated, I wouldn't be getting an exemption.
There should be no special rules for Novak Djokovic at all.
Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.